So, interesting things we've run across lately.
There have been some.
You had a close encounter with a Klingon, I believe.
I did. And I don't remember what show I was watching, but anyway, I stumbled across the internode ad in Klingon, which basically is an entire ad spoken in Klingon with the tagline along at the bottom of some line along the lines, if you can translate this, you're our kind of geek. It's a very good and amusing ad, and it reminded me. Sorry.
It is a good and amusing ad, but every time I watch this ad, I get to the end and think, but I can't translate it. I can't use internode.
But maybe it's aspirational. Maybe it wants you to learn how.
How many people can translate it? And I'm sure there are plenty, but how many people in Adelaide watching that ad, what percentage of the people viewing it actually can translate it?
How many of our listeners know enough Klingon to translate it when heard?
That's true. But what
a yeah, I reckon that would be about maybe 10% of our listeners, so one.
One?
Two?
Maybe two? Anyway, continue, please.
Yeah.
It reminded me of the fact that there are Klingon translators in some mental institutions in America because apparently some people, when they have mental fragility, start to speak only in Klingon. I assume that they knew Klingon previously, and because it's a manufactured language, it has a very same structure rather than most languages, which don't. English has no same structure at all.
Well, hang on. That, of course, is the argument in favour of learning Esperanto.
It was, but apparently Klingon was the one that won out. So if you go nuts
if I'm
in America,
going to choose a global language, I'm going with Klingon over Esperanto every time.
And clearly if they're American, they wouldn't choose a European admission, would they?
No. So it reminded me of that fact that you can go crazy in America.
I mean, if I learned Klingon, would I be able to travel the world and speak in Klingon and people would understand?
I'm sure it's definitely
some people would. You want to think carefully about, do you only want to talk to those people who would understand Klingon?
Well, apparently we're all signing up with internodes. So.
Apparently.
Except for those who know Elvish.
Yes.
That's coming next, apparently.
Mm. I discovered the new Book Boys in James Place. Mm-hmm. And while wandering through that, I almost got all the way out without buying anything except just on the way out. And there was this special and this collection of essays by Michael Chabon, who, of course, wrote Cavalier and Clay. It's called Maps and Legends, Reading and Writing Along the Borderlands. And the blurb on the back is what sold me. It's a love song in 16 parts, a series of linked essays in praise of reading and writing. Subjects ranging from ghost stories to comic books, Sherlock Holmes to Cormac McCarthy. And he makes, I think, a very good case for the good old-fashioned story rather than these modern short stories with no actual plot or story or device. And I've read several of the chapters so far. There's a very nice one on Sherlock Holmes where he points out that Arthur Conan Doyle did something very clever. He packaged in stories within stories within stories in a very compact way that no one had done before. He sort of invented that structure of a story within a story within a story. Because there's the story of the crime, the story of the mystery of the crime, the story of the solution of the mystery of the crime, and then there's the story that Watson tells about the whole thing as well. So you've got the author also one of the characters within this reflexive story structure, which is very powerful, and apparently Doyle was one of the first people to do that. And there's also a very nice description of various kinds of comic books. So it's led me to go and chase up various things. And a lovely essay on his Dark Materials, the Philip Pullman trilogy, comparing it to
C.S. Lewis. Massacred in the film The Gold Compass.
Yeah. So that was one of my two delights. The other one was discovering the BBC's radio production of Neil Gaiman's Neverwhere, which they broadcast earlier this year.
Well, fun playing with one quickly. I was trying to think of what I've been interested in lately. Mostly I've been watching crappy reality TV. But the one which actually caught me is Bioshock, which is a computer game. I'm replaying it. It's been out for a long time. And it has the finest design of a game that I've played in, any game I've played in a long time. It just reminds me how nice it is. The assumption, the story very briefly is that this great guy decided, or great eccentric millionaire or whatever, decided to build a perfect city underwater at the bottom of the ocean using 1920s style Art Deco decorations for everything, and then everyone went insane and killed each other, and it proves to be a fascinating game to play through just to admire the design as you play it.